Turn with me now in your copies of God's Word to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is found on page 820 in the Bibles provided. We're actually going to look at a few passages, and I think you'll see why they're connected as we read through it. But we'll be reading when Jesus feeds the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. In Matthew chapter 15, when he performs a very similar miracle, he feeds the 4,000, beginning in chapter 15, verse 32. And then in chapter 16, when he speaks to the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in chapter 16, verse 5. These three passages are connected in that they all talk about the same events. The feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000 are the same event, but they're similar. And Matthew actually, just to tell you a bit about where we're going in the future with this, Matthew has structured these two chapters of Matthew 14 and 15 in this way to highlight what is in the center of this chapter, where he's dealing with the traditions of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so he has these two similar events to bookend that. We'll talk about that in future weeks, but now we're going to look at just these bookends and see what Matthew is preparing us for as we proceed through his gospel. People of God, hear the word of God, for it is our bread, it is our food. Hear his word. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up into heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And then to chapter 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called the disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7, and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. And then to chapter 16, verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let us pray. O merciful Father in heaven, we praise you that your word is true. We praise you that your servant Jesus Christ has done these miracles. We thank you that your servant Matthew has recorded them for us. And Lord, we long to see your glory in them. Lord, we pray that you would give us abundantly of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would see and Lord, that we would believe these things. Lord, that you would bring in your people a harvest of righteousness through the preaching of your word, through working your word in us, and through conforming us to your great image, Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your response when you're already busy and something else comes up? Did it happen this week? Or you were already going about your business, you already had your schedule of things that you needed to get done that day, and then there's a call. Or there's a text message, or there's that thing that you forgot. How do you respond in those situations? How do you deal with things? Are you able in those situations to keep focus on what's really important? Are you able to act in a godly manner in those situations? Do you use it as an opportunity for growth and grace? How do you respond? In this passage, we see Christ responding to something that was already on top of many things that he was doing. And we see here his great compassion. We see him here still instructing his disciples. We see him here giving to the crowds in abundance and in a way that gives him glory. So let us look at this passage and see our Lord. And let us also in this passage be strengthened that we would be able to carry on in our daily lives in a way that gives glory to him. Because Christ is the compassionate bread giver. Rely upon his abundant provision. Christ is the compassionate bread giver. So rely upon his abundant provision. Now first, we're looking at these two miracles, these two passages found in Matthew 14 and 15. We're looking at them in parallel. Why? Because they're not the same event, and yet they're so similar. There's a lot of similarities verbally, the way that Matthew phrases things. The characters are very similar. It's Jesus and the disciples and the crowds. And so let's look at them, and that will help us to understand why Matthew recorded both of these for us, and why Jesus, in fact, did them for the disciples. And first we see that Christ is surprising us by his compassion. Christ surprises us by his compassion. Both of these stories begin with compassion, Christ's compassion. Look at chapter 14, verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Or chapter 15, verse 32. Jesus called to his disciples to him, and he said, "I have compassion on the crowd." And friends, this is what is compassion? Well, he saw the needs of the crowds. He saw their hunger, and he saw that they needed to eat. He saw that they were sick, and he knew that he needed to heal them. He knows that if he sends them on their way, they will faint along the way. And so he sees the needs of others, and he takes those needs as his own. That's what compassion is. It's feeling the needs of others as your own. And this is, in some ways, reading through Matthew's gospel, something we'd expect of Jesus, right? I mean, think back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Jesus saw the crowds. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We might expect this kind of compassion, but there's actually, in context here, reasons why we might not expect Jesus's compassion. Because here, both of these are Jesus and the crowds, right? Matthew 14, Matthew 15. And yet, remember what just happened in Matthew 13? Jesus was preaching to the disciples, but he was preaching to the crowds in parables. Chapter 13, verse 34 tells us all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. And it wasn't that he even gave the explanation of the parables to the crowds. He gave the explanation only to his disciples. Chapter 13, verse 11 tells us. So it would seem, you know, if we're just looking at chapter 13, that Jesus is giving the parables without explanation to the crowds. Is he really compassionate about them? Does he really care about them? We might ask that question. And yet here, both of these situations where he sees the crowds, he does have compassion upon them. He does care about them. And furthermore, we might be surprised that Jesus would show compassion on them just because of his own situation. Because what do we read about? What do we read about in the beginning of Matthew 14? John the Baptist has just died. Jesus has just received news that his cousin is dead. And that's when, verse 13, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. And furthermore, it's not just a family connection that Jesus has with John. Jesus knows that John is his forerunner, that John has actually forerun his death. And so it's in light of that Jesus is going to this desolate place, mourning, I expect. And yet, even the fact that he's mourning, he still shows compassion. Friends, are you surprised by Jesus's compassion? Are you surprised that he would care about these crowds? Are you surprised that Jesus would be described so often in Matthew's gospel as a man who had compassion? Well, this is instructive. It's instructive for the disciples. We often think of these two miracles of Jesus and the 5,000, Jesus and the 4,000 as just having those characters. It's just Jesus and the crowds, and he feeds them, or... But that's not the way that Matthew relays it to us. Matthew actually emphasizes for us, puts before us, that there's another set of characters that we often forget about, and that's the disciples. Both of these miracles begin with Jesus interacting with his disciples and having some interchange with them and some way of teaching them. In fact, that is what we may expect. Jesus has already told us, even in the series of parables that he said, that there are scribes of the kingdom and that they will be trained. We've learned that every student will be like his teacher. And so the first lesson for the disciples, as they're being taught by our Lord in these two situations, is to look to him. He's compassionate. And that's what we as disciples of Jesus Christ must ask ourselves. Are we learning from Jesus in his compassion? Our Lord is a compassionate, we have a compassionate God. We have a compassionate and merciful Savior. Are we a people who are characterized by compassion? So Christ is instructing his disciples. They're an important part of these two miracles. But the other thing that Christ does as he's instructing his disciples, as he's going about doing this miracle, is that he highlights his disciples' need. Christ highlights his disciples' need. We see this in the first miracle, that the disciples first have their own solution to this problem. Chapter 14, verse 15, and it's an uncompassionate solution. What do they say? They say, well, this is a desolate place. The day is over. Send the crowds away to go to the villages and buy food for themselves. The crowds are just another burden upon the disciples, you would think, from what they're saying here. They treat the crowds like items on a balance sheet. Well, we don't have enough, so we'll just send you away and you just take care of it on your own. And yet, how does Jesus respond? Jesus puts it to them. He says, verse 16, you give them something to eat. Jesus is involving his disciples. He is teaching his disciples. He's training his disciples. And so what does he do? Well, he brings them to admit their small supplies. Well, they say, well, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. If we were to look at the parable or the parallel in John's gospel, John chapter 6, verse 9, we find that these loaves and fish didn't even belong to the disciples to begin with. They were actually from a boy. Jesus actually is getting the disciples to admit what little they have. They are brought to the realization that they first lack compassion, but they also, furthermore, do not have the resources to even help this situation. And so what is Jesus doing? He's drawing out of them, he's drawing them to the conclusion that they must rely upon him. And so they do rely upon him in the first miracle. And yet we turn to the second one, and it seems that they haven't learned much. They're in a similar situation. They're in a desolate place. There are these crowds. Jesus has compassion, desires to feed them. And what do they ask? The disciples say, well, where are we to get enough bread? Well, they're standing in front of Jesus. Jesus gave the bread last time. Jesus is instructing his disciples to see their lack so that they then might rely upon him. Does Jesus not teach his disciples this same lesson today? Does Jesus not bring us to see our need, to see our own lack, to see that we cannot solve the problems that we are facing with our own resources? We just can't. We don't have enough. We don't have the ability. And yet, he does that so often to bring us to recognize that we must rely upon him. That every bit of the solution must be from his providing hand. He's teaching us, is he not, that we rely upon him even as we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. He was teaching that to the disciples then. So what does Jesus do then? Well, in both of these miracles, Christ provides bread in abundance. He says concerning this meager supply, these few loaves and these 2 fish, he says, bring them to me. Bring them to me. Christ is the one who will do this work. And in fact, he multiplies them. There is enough food for everyone to be satisfied, even enough for loaves and fishes to be gathered up in baskets full afterward. Christ does this, and he does it in abundance. Now, you know, from a human perspective, well, the disciples gave something. I mean, they gave the bread and the fish. But the truth is, if you were there at this miracle, and as we read it, there's no question about who did this. There's no question about who gets the glory. There's no question about where the glory is. It's in Christ alone. He is the great giver. Now Christ does desire us to be faithful and to surrender our every resource to his lordship. He did ask the disciples, what do you have? What resources do you have to give? And yet he is the one who uses them. He is the one who multiplies them. He is the one who makes them effectual. And so what about you? Christ does require of you your every resource. But it's not your resource that's going to solve things. He does ask you to submit your relationships, your neighborhoods, your friends, your family, your material goods to his lordship. And yet also to recognize that's not going to be enough to do this, Lord. That if anything's going to happen, that it will be him doing it. And so it is here. Christ is the one who has done this. Christ is the one who fed everyone here. Christ is the one who satisfies the crowds. And so Matthew wants us to see the abundance that Christ provides, to see his creative power. It was 12 baskets that were left over, to see his provision. Now, we have to ask, because there are many out there that would take this and say, well, Christ did that then, and that means that he's going to give abundance to you. So maybe you're thinking, as we look at this passage, well, I've got empty cabinets at home. Maybe Jesus is going to fill up those cabinets overflowing with bread tonight. That's not the lesson that Jesus is giving us. In fact, we see even from the way that Matthew has structured this and what comes afterward, that this is not merely about bread for you and I, and it wasn't about merely bread for them. It's not just about bread, but it's about relying upon Him. Now, turn with me to the third passage that I read, Matthew 16, verses 5 through 12. Now, there Jesus, it seems like He's trying to confuse the disciples, but He's not. But He is getting them to think, and He's getting us to think too. He says to them, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." But of course, they realize after what He says later that He's not talking about leaven at all. He's talking about the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in fact, Jesus mentions to them, or He reminds them of both of these two miracles. He says, "Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? This is another indication that Matthew wasn't just a confused guy and wrote the same story twice with different details. Jesus knew that these were two different miracles. Matthew knew that these were two different miracles, and so they are. But Jesus is mentioning those because as Jesus has just told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they just want to think about bread. Oh, well, we forgot to bring bread. That's why Jesus is saying it that way. Well, no, Jesus is actually using the bread to draw them to see a greater need. This is actually, as odd as that might be to our way of thinking today, this is actually very much what we would expect of our God in His way of teaching His people. This morning we've had several readings, even sung psalms about the bread from heaven, about the manna that God had provided. And what was the recurring connection that God had in giving that manna? Well, He was testing His people. He was instructing His people. He was telling His people, you must rely upon My word. In fact, the manna was a lesson to tell them that they must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of our God. And so it should not surprise us that Jesus, who is God in the flesh, is instructing us again with both of these miracles. It's not just about bread. But what is it about? Well, there's some details that, if you were to take both of these passages and print them off in parallel and highlight the parts that were exactly the same, you'll see that there are some parts that are almost word for word, every, you know, detail after detail, getting exactly the same as you put these next to each other. In fact, the fact that they're printed as they are in the Pew Bibles is helpful for doing this kind of comparison. But the central part of these two miracles is in these details. Jesus takes the loaves and fishes. He blesses them or gives thanks for them. He breaks the loaves and He gives them to the disciples. Now, friends, there's a reason why that's so similar, and there's a reason why it's similar to one other spot in Matthew's gospel. If we were to flip forward to Matthew 26, verse 26, we'd read, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.'" Jesus is foreshadowing the Lord's Supper, which is, of course, telling us of His death on the cross. Jesus is instructing the crowds. He's instructing His disciples that you're not just going to be relying upon Me for filling your stomachs. You must rely upon Me for forgiveness of your sins. You must rely upon My death. You must rely upon My work for you that only I can do for you. Jesus isn't just telling them to rely on Him for bread, but to rely on Him who is the bread of life. It's about relying on Him for everything that we have, everything that we are. And specifically about relying upon Him as He has been broken for you, as He has been crucified for our sins. Friends, this is not just about bread. It never was. It's about the compassion that Christ has shown in bringing about our forgiveness of sins, about dying for us. And you know what? This changes his disciples. The disciples were being instructed by this. We, as Christ's disciples, are being instructed by this. We learned that it was not the nails that held him to the cross, but it was his great compassion for his people. We learned that we don't even have loaves and fishes to bring. All we have are the sins on our hands. We bring them to him. Our hands are empty, but of only what made the cross necessary. And yet, he has provided in abundance. He has fully satisfied for all of our sins, and satisfied not just for ours, but for all Christians who have come before us or that will come after us. He is the great and merciful Savior. He is the great and good giver of himself for his people. And you know what? The fact that that is our Lord changes us. It changes how we react to others. It changes what we're living for and what we're expecting out of this life. It changes us in that moment where we feel like we're already busy. It changes us in that moment where we feel like we've got nothing left to give. Because one, it teaches us that we're not just operating on what we see, but we're operating on his provision. That means that we don't have to treat other people as inconveniences. We don't have to treat unexpected things that come up as just another line item on a balance sheet. Because if that's how we deal with people, if that's how we're dealing with the resources that God has given us, there's no room for compassion. I either have to take away from this and give it to you, or take away from this and give it to you. But if Christ is the abundant giver, as he is in these miracles, then there's always something to give. Because it's not just our resources, it's his unlimited resources that give us strength, that give us what we are needful of in the very moment, in the very hour. And so we are enabled to become compassionate. We are enabled to give freely, because we have been given to freely. We don't have to be tight-fisted. And so we actually can live differently. So think through this past week. Were there times that you were miserly with your time or miserly with your resources? Times when you got a request and you bit back? You need to repent of those things. And yet, have hope. Have hope that when a similar situation comes up this next week, it doesn't have to be that way, because Christ has fully satisfied for all your sins. Christ has given you a new nature, and Christ will give you the resources you need in that time in order to glorify him. Now, friends, that doesn't mean that your bank account's going to be swelling when you get home tonight. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy, but it does mean that we rely on Christ. It does mean that he is fully sufficient for all of our needs. It means that we pray and we mean it when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Because we're looking to him. And he is our bread giver. So as we look at all this together, friends, be comforted. Be strengthened in your faith. Christ is who he said he is. Christ has come to do what he said he would do. He is compassionate. Let's be surprised by that. Let's also grow in his compassion. Let's see our need for him, and let him be glorified in us as we walk about this week. Christ is the compassionate bread giver. So rely upon his abundant provision. Let's pray. Oh, great God, we thank you for Christ. We thank you that you have shown compassion on us. Lord, that we were like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, that we had nothing in our hands, and yet we also had nothing in our bellies. We needed you. And it's not just talking about our material needs, although we have them, Lord. But Lord, our greatest need is that we are sinful. And yet you have fully satisfied for that need. You, Lord Jesus Christ, were perfectly righteous for us. And so you have died not for your own sins, for you had none, but you died for our sins, that your righteousness might be given to us. Lord, your abundant provision for us, even your provision in our daily walks, you've given us every meal we've ever eaten to this day. You've given us every glass of water we've ever drank. You have given us good things. Lord, your provision for us enables us to then give freely to others. So, Lord, we pray that you would remind us that we're not just in a matrix of what we have and what we don't have. But Lord, we are walking as those who rely upon you. Lord, would you then enable us as we go about this week to be kind, to be compassionate to others, to give even when we do not feel that we are able to give more. Lord, relying upon your strength, relying upon your grace. And Lord, would you get all the glory? Lord, would you be glorified in your people, we pray. Lord, Father in heaven, extol the name of Jesus Christ, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. We pray in his name. Amen.